Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe ye might have life through his name. I want to talk to you from a subject for a moment. Resurrection changed everything. Resurrection changed everything. I heard people trying to predict today that the life, what we're going through now, that life will never be the same again. And I've heard that many times through many sicknesses, many pandemics, many losses, 9/11 and different things that has happened. And people said life would never be the same. Amen. I'm pretty sure that those who came through slavery and Jim Crow and different things, they probably said life would never be the same. When you lose a loved one, when someone is born or someone dies, life is never the same. When you're sick and you're used to being healthy, life is never the same. When you find somebody you love and that doesn't work out, life is never the same. But on the flip side, when you find somebody to love who's faithful and with you, then life changes for the better and all is well. For those who've ever had children, when you are single and you have no children, life is different because you are free. But when you have children, you have to sacrifice and do those things that makes your child safe, and then life is never the same. When I went through Elon University, one of my favorite professors, Todd Peterson, she was a real stickler for writing. And in your writing, you had to show her a point or a time or what she called a watershed moment. And it took me a long time to figure out what Professor Peters was trying to teach me. And that was what I just said to you. There are things in your life which is a watershed moment that will change your life that will never be the same. And so this morning I'm talking about resurrection changes things. Resurrection, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, things were never the same. Before the resurrection, you had the beaten Christ, the broken Christ, the betrayed Christ, the denied Christ. Amen. You had the Christ who people began to talk, lift up everything but him. And then he was broken, beaten. He was crucified, and then he was buried. But then the Bible says on the third day morning that the Lord got up. In other words, resurrection took place. And because of his resurrection and because of his life, our life will never be the same. Well, I understand now that we are going through some things now that we may think that life will never be the same. We may think that there is no way that we can get out of this thing, but I'm telling you today that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have the ability to make it through this thing. I know that a lot of us are not in the church today. I do miss your church. I do miss laying hands on people, but I believe that it's the Lord that has given us a gag order. I believe that the Lord has exiled us from his church because we have taken his church and took it from being a house of prayer and turned it into a den of thieves. We've made the program, the church about programs, the church about how great you can preach rather than just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that souls may be saved. We've made it about singing our favorite song versus singing to lift up the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to flow that someone may come in and their lives be changed. We've made the church about everything but what God made it to be, and that is a house of prayer. So now you find that some preachers are still standing. Some preachers still packing out the churches. Some preachers have even lost their lives, and people in the congregation have lost their lives because people refuse to follow the laws and the guidelines and the mandate of this pandemic because they said that they have faith. And I believe that they had faith. But I also believe that we as the people of God should be intelligent to trust God enough to do what the Lord said do and to follow his mandate. When you say, well, preacher, we should always never forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, the forsaking of the assembling of yourself is when you refuse to come to God. when you refuse to come to his people? Because there are people now who are fighting to get in the church, but when the church was open, they would not come to church. There were people who have jobs in the church, but yet they have disappeared from the church. So what is the text today telling us about the resurrection and the church? We found out that Mary Magdalene went to the disciples, and we noticed Peter and John, and they ran to the temple, and Jesus was not there. And the Bible says that in verse 20, in the beginning, it said that they ran to the sepulcher in verse 8 and said, John saw and he believed. Then in verse 9, it said, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now that perplexed me, because in Matthew 16, Jesus 21, Jesus and said that he was going to Jerusalem before the chief priests and the scribes, and they were going to kill and crucify him. But the Bible here talks about that word. You see that they had not understood. In other words, they did not believe. Amen. And today I'm asking you to believe what the word of God says. The Bible says that Sister Mary stood outside the sepulcher and she wept, amen. Two angels want to know why she's amongst the dead looking for the living. And the Bible says that when she turned back, that she saw Jesus and she was weeping and she supposed that Jesus was a gardener, but Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And then she went to cling to the Lord, and the Lord said, that the Bible here says, don't touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. If you break that word down, what he was saying was not, don't touch me, Mary, don't physically touch me or social distance me, Mary. He's saying to her, he's saying, I have work to do. You can't hold me here. I have things to do. And he told her, go to the disciples and tell the disciples that you have seen me. Then that same day, the text, verse 19, it was the first day of the week, and the doors were shut, and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. In other words, they were social distances just like we are now. They were shut up in the upper room. They were supposed to have went there to assemble together, to meditate, to pray, and to wait until the Lord had given them directions, but they changed the whole narrative. They went to assemble together in the room, and the Bible says that they was in fear of the Jews, and then Jesus came and stood in the midst. I'm trying to tell you this morning that just because you are not in the church does not mean that the Lord can't reach you where you are. If you know the Lord like I do, you call on him, he will show up in the midst of your house. And whatever your fears are, the Lord will take care of your situation. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus are not like all other gods. Everybody's trying to get to their God, to bring God down to their level. But my Lord will come to you in the way where you are and the way that you are. When the Lord showed up, he said to them, peace be still. Let me give you some scripture before I go ahead. That only now is the word of God standing in the church. Take that in right now. Only the word of God is standing in the church. Everybody's trying to manufacture worship and do different things. And as people keep on trying to force the church back open, what you are going to find is you're going to find folk going to start getting sick. You're going to find that the programs that we are doing is not going to work. God wants us to be still and know that he is God. So now the word of God is going forth. Well, preacher, how do you know that the word of God is going forth? Write with me or think with me as I go along. Psalm 19 and 14. We say it all the time after our prayer before preaching. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. That's because the word of the Lord is right, and the word of the Lord is the way. Because the law of the Lord, according to Psalm 19, 8 through 5, the law of the Lord is perfect. Because the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, is the only thing that it takes to convert the soul. Then not only the law of the Lord, but the statutes of the Lord. the scriptures of the Lord. They are right because the hearer rejoices when they hear the word of God despite your situation. Then there's the fear of the Lord. Not afraid like those in the upper room were afraid of the Jews. Not fear like folks are fearing for the pandemic, or fear of getting sick, or fear that the economy is going to fail. But there's a respect for the Lord. And when you fear the Lord with proper respect, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean. And then that fear endures forever. Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man brings a snare. But those who put up their trust in the Lord shall be safe forever. Whether you're in the house, whether you're at work, whether you're in the street, if you put your trust in the Lord, you will be safe. Watershed, a moment of the resurrection. The resurrection brought new life. The resurrection teaches us that things, the situation may not change, but God will give you the ability to lift your head up in the midst of your situation. What did the resurrection bring? Out of Jesus, the resurrection brought new life. Out of Jesus, the resurrection took Jesus' broken body. And now he stands before his disciples, amen, in a new body that was beaten and broken and now is new. Still got the holes in his hands. Still got the holes in his feet. But yet he has new life and a physical body that's able to transport and walk through walls because they were locked up and Jesus showed up. I'm telling you now that the word will stand forever. Let's look at the scripture and see what's going on. I want to invite your attention to probably verse 20. It says, Jesus said, peace be still in verse 19. In verse 20, he said, and when he said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Wait a minute, Jesus. We are in a pandemic. Amen. We should have masks on and we should sanitize our hands and we should not be touching. But yet Jesus showed up behind the walls, behind the doors, and it said that Jesus showed them his hands. And it said, then Jesus showed them his side. Then it said, when the disciples saw it, they was glad. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. So Jesus gives them peace in the midst of trouble. And then Jesus gives them a mandate or a commission to go out in the midst of trouble. Then verse 22, the Bible says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you this morning, that's the first thing that resurrection does. If you're remembering, if you're writing, the resurrection will give you power. You may feel weak right now. You may feel like you need to do something or to accomplish something. But John's gospel was written so that you will believe. And when the Lord breathed on you, you will receive power. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about, power? In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. That's the same breath that he just breathed on them in verse 22. Then the Lord comes back and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, it says the word of God, what it is inspired by God. It's breathed on by God. It brings life by God. So if you are in the house, open your word of God. Listen to your word of God. Let it breathe life into your soul. Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel was in the valley of dry bones. And in the valley of dry bones, brother Ezekiel asked the Lord what to do. And the Lord told him to prophesy or preach to the dry bones. The Bible says that the dry bones stood up. And when the dry bones stood up, then Ezekiel said, what should I do? He said, brother, you need to prophesy to the winds, north, south, east, and west. And it said that the wind began to blow. The breath of God began to blow. The pneuma began to blow. And life came into it. If you want life in your house, speak the word of God. If you want life in your marriage, speak the word of God. If you want power in your life, you got to speak the word of God. And the Bible says, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Not my will, Lord, but thine will be done. Thine will is the word of God. Verse 22 shows us that the resurrection brings power. God said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then it gives power to forgive. Amen. If you want power, you got to let some folk go. You got to let some things go. King James said, whosoever sin you repent, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sin you retain, they are retained. That word remit in the King James is nothing but forgiveness. When you forgive folk and let them go, power comes to you. And then when you hold on to people's sin and hold on to things that they've done, even hold on to things that you have done, when God said that he has forgiven you, when you let it go, God will give you power to do those things that you need to do. And not only did God give you power in this text, God gives us the ability to believe. Because Hebrews said in Hebrews 3 and 4, said that the people of God heard the preaching of the gospel, but they did not mix it with faith. In other words, they heard it, but they did not believe. I wonder how many of you have come into church Sunday after Sunday and heard the word of God, but yet you did not believe. Yeah, well, preacher, I believe. You believe if you did what the word said, that you understood that obedience was better than sacrifice. If you took that word back to folk in your marketplace, folks back in your homes, if you did those things, then you believe. But if you just heard the word of God and did not do the word of God, you were just a hearer. So here it is that Thomas is in the mix. The Bible says when the 12 met, there was one called Didymus. That word means twin, because Thomas had a twin. It said he was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas said, unless I see his hand, unless I see the print of the nails in his fingers and I see the thrust of my hands in his side, he said, I will not believe. How many people today, no matter what happens in the world, they will not believe. They don't believe that the Lord is real. They don't believe that God can save. They don't believe that God can heal. They don't believe that the word of God is true. They believe everything but the word of God. How many are in that situation where they will not believe and trust in the Lord? Thomas said, I will not believe. But then God gives you power not only to do right, to forgive sin, but he gives you power to believe. Verse 26 said, after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. And then Jesus came again and the doors were shut. Jesus stood in the midst and he said, peace be unto you. That's telling you right now, I said that the Lord will come to you. Verse 27 then says he to Thomas. This is what Jesus said to brother Thomas, the doubting one, the unbelieving one. He says to Thomas, reach here in thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither in thy hand and thrust it into thy side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, what's the difference between doubt and unbelief? Because in John 14, remember, Thomas did not, he was doubting the Lord. Because the Bible says that the Lord said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. And he said, I go, and you know, and the way you know, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Thomas said, Lord, how can we know? How can we know the way? And the Lord was telling him, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. Thomas, all you have to do is just believe in me. So Thomas was doubting then. But there's a difference between doubt, because all of us are doubting right now. We are doubting, can we make it during this storm? We are doubting that some people are working, so they are really not thinking about the fact of people who are unemployed. But the people who are unemployed are trying to figure out, how can I make it? People who are laid off are trying to figure out, how can I make it? People with loved ones sick and they can't visit, they're wondering, will they be all right? And now the church is wondering, will we stand? Amen. But I'm telling you that God has given us power if we would just believe. The Lord said to Thomas, after Thomas saw who the Lord was, the Lord will give you strength in your house. You don't have to go to church. All you got to do is just believe right now until the Lord allows us to come back into the house of the Lord. Bible said, Thomas said to him, brother, after his eyes was opened. The Bible in verse 28, Thomas answered, and he said, my Lord and my God. If we would just realize that he is Lord, amen, that he is ruler, he rules, and he super rules. And not only is he Lord, but he is God. And then Jesus said to Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. How many of us have seen the Lord make a way out of no way? How many of us have seen God bring us out of situations time after time after time? How many of us keep making the same mistake, yet the grace of God is still sufficient and the mercy of God still endures in your life? Because God is the one that has the power to make you believe. Then he said that because you have seen, you believe. But blessed are the ones who have not seen, yet they believe. So what is this book written for? John's gospel was written in John chapter 1 to show you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 and 14 said, we beheld his grace and his truth when he came together in this flesh. We understand that he is God. But then it says that this book in verse 30 is written that many signs that Jesus showed in the presence of his disciples. He did many things that was not written in this book. We know some great things that he did. He opened blinded eyes. He healed folks, amen. He fed hungry people. And I wonder sometimes as the church, why are we that way? Why are we in our houses hiding? Folks are still hungry. Folks still need clothes. Folks still need to make it. Don't tell me that we cannot provide and that we cannot take care of people during this time, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Back on task, verse 31, not only verse 31 shows us that there's a promise in the Lord. So first of all, we got power in the Lord because he's given us his Holy Ghost. We got belief in the Lord because he will show up and show you who he is. And verse 31 says that, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The promise is that after the resurrection, you will have everlasting life. The song said, because he lived, I can face another day. And because he lived, all fear is gone. And I want to tell you today that hold on to God's unchanging hand. Oh, I feel good as if folk were in the church, but I'm trying to tell you that this is the whole crux of the message, that the resurrection will give you power. The resurrection will give you belief and give you faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God. But God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. I want to tell you that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said, death can't separate us from the love of God. Fear can't separate us from the love of God. Danger can't separate us from the love of God. But as I stand here today and think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for me, he's resurrected my life so many times. And I just want to come and give you some hope today to trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the Bible says that the Lord will direct my path. I'm going to give you a song today. If I could sing it, I would sing it. For those who are out here listening, I want you to begin to whisper it to yourself. The Bible says that sometimes we got to trust in the Lord. The Bible says we got to lean on the Lord. But then the Lord said to Thomas, here are my hands. I want you to put your hands in the hands of the man that calmed the waters. Put your hands in the hands of the man who stilled the sea. If you do those things, God will be with you. So my testimony is, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, Lord, I need you to walk with me. And while you're walking with me, Lord, I need you to talk to me, Lord. Talk to me, Lord. Tell me who you are. Tell me who I am. Tell me what I need to be. Resurrection. Resurrection. give you power. Resurrection will give you belief. Resurrection gives you the promise of eternal life. While you are social distancing, while you are isolated, let me say this to you as I close, that we were already distanced. We were in the house with people that we were not talking to, other than something superficial. We were going to church with people, elbow to elbow, in the pew together, looking together, talking together, but we was distanced from one another. Sometimes mad with each other, sometimes unforgiving to one another, sometimes talking about one another rather than edifying one another. And the Lord got tired. The Lord has sent us home. And when we get it right, the church will be on fire for Jesus. And because of what's going on, we have been commissioned to show the love of God. And let me add this one to you. The church is not the only one who ought to be thankful for God. Now those people in the world who are working in dangerous situations, they're going to be able to say, if they make it through this storm, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? When I had to go check on sick folk and my gloves were short, when I had to go check on folk and didn't have a mask to put on my face, the Lord still made a way. When food got short in my house and I was cut off from coming out, when businesses were closed and I couldn't even buy eggs, milk, and toilet paper, yet somehow the Lord made a way. So not only would preachers be able to stand and preach, not only should members be able to stand and talk about the goodness of the Lord, but every single soul, even children who would graduate, who can't, and doing their studies from home, are learning a different way in a different mode, but yet they're still making it, yet they're still standing. So I'm telling you today, trust God, believe God, walk with God, and the promise is that you will have eternal life, everlasting life in the Lord. Now my thing for you is, while you are here in my presence, you don't know the Lord, the free will pardon of your sins. This is your time to give the Lord your life. If you're at home by yourself and you are listening, you don't know God, I want you to whisper this prayer with me, but then sincerely connect with somebody who know God and walk through the scriptures. Father, as we come now in the name of Jesus, God, for those who don't believe in you, God, and even though they may doubt and be like Thomas said, unless I see him, I will not believe. God, I ask you to manifest yourself and show yourself strong unto the unbeliever and to those whose heart has been pricked. I want you to pray, Lord, come now, search my heart, me a sinner. Save me, Father, by grace, for I admit that I've sinned and come short of your glory. God, I ask you to fill me, forgive me of my sins and fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. And I give my life to you, God, that I will never be the same. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord and he is God. Father, as I get ready to leave this place, but never from your presence, bless those and strengthen those who may be out working in the times of peril. Thank you, God, for those who are still standing on the front lines and standing strong. And then, God, I pray for the strength of your families, the strength of your churches, the strength of your communities, God, that you will come into the world and show people that you are God. In Jesus' name, I pray and count it done by faith, that the faithful of God say amen. And as I close, I want to say this one thing. You might be wondering why I never mentioned the pandemic much. I never mentioned COVID-19, because you can go and listen to that on the news. You hearing bad news and what people think and what they feel, but I just told you the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. All you have to be able to do is believe and trust in the Lord. He will sustain you, keep you, feed you, clothe you, guide you, and lead you. And if death should have to come, if you die in the Lord, yet shall you live. In Jesus' name I pray. May God's heaven smile upon you and God be with you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.